On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WEBR Fairfax Radio, here on the Commons, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and on the Commons today with us, I am very happy to have my old friend, Jan Bergman from Florida. Jan is president of the Cyber Citizens for Justice, a Florida-based consumer-oriented group, and he's been doing some absolutely marvelous things. Jan, are you with me?
Hi, Sue. Yes, I'm with you, and I'm glad to be on your show. And how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully well, thank you, and I appreciate you coming on. I know you've been very, very busy lately.
It's kind of busy as soon as the session in Tallahassee starts.
Well, you've been doing a lot more than that. You've been putting together coalitions and building your organization and basically giving homeowners and consumers in Florida a real voice.
Well, honestly, we desperately need it. See, you know that some of us are already working on the whole issue since years, and so far, I'm sorry to say, mostly without any kind of success to show for. And so we realized, since we don't have the finances of the industry which is fighting us, we need to get power in numbers. And the power in numbers is what will finally get us somewhere. You know, it's kind of hard to get consumers together, too many opinions, too many personalities, and many problems, and very different ones.
That's true. So basically, I mean, you talked a little bit about money that the industry throws at the legislators. But, you know, one thing that all the money in the world's not going to do them any good without the votes. And when you build the kinds of coalitions that you've been working on very successfully, and my hat's off to you because what you've done is extremely difficult. What you've basically done is said, hey, but we've got the votes. They may have the money, but we've got the votes, and without them, you're not getting back where you are.
Yeah, but see, the problem is you have many organizations all over Florida. They have a little different goal.
That's right.
They're very local, partially. For example, some are just groups within associations. And all of them have kind of different little problems. And while our society today is not anymore looking into the big picture, you very often find this, oh, it's me, and then nothing. So they're pursuing their own little goal, but are unwilling to help with the big picture. So it's kind of hard to get them together. But more and more, they all realize that they get nowhere alone. You know, you as a small little group, you can talk with one legislator in your area, and he will tell you, hey, have another coffee, and let's be nice. But you will not get anywhere because you need to touch every legislator. So that means you have to work together, you have to help each other, and we have realized that, and we are trying now since quite a while to get a coalition built, which now really starts getting somewhere, and we had lately quite some success. I have been just last week at a big meeting of the POA, which is the homeowners group within the villages here in Florida, a huge common development district with about 27,000 homes. And I was invited there to speak, and it worked real well, and we're working together. They have 1,200 members, so that counts for a few votes, definitely, and legislators are realizing that.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make. You know, it's not just the 1,200 votes, but they all have friends. Now, if every one of them just tells one friend, you know, this is the issue, this is what we need, because not everybody has strong ideas of what's going on, but you tell a friend, look, if you're going to go, please vote for so-and-so, or don't vote for so-and-so because of the following issues. You know, you've just influenced 2,400 votes.
And you see, legislators know that a well-paid commercial in the TV station gets you quite somewhere. But if there is a consumer advocacy group putting in a little ad in the local newspaper, which may cost $300, and tells people, don't vote for this legislator, it will get you much further than the big TV advertising for thousands of dollars.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And you figure, I mean, what you're doing, I think you're going to start seeing a lot of good results, I think, out of what you've done so far and what you've been able to pull together. Because as you said early on, Jan, a lot of activists go in and talk to their legislators, but they go in on their own. They're basically a lone voice in the wilderness, and the legislator's not going to pay a whole lot of attention to them.
And it is mostly not coordinated, because the one group tells the local legislator, oh, we want this bill, and the next group tells the neighboring legislator in the next district, oh, you know, we want a similar bill, but we want it this, and this way.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
instead
right.
of having these groups talking together first and then talk to both legislators to file the same bill, and one sponsors it and the next one co-sponsors it, it gets two different bills, which in the end in Tallahassee will get nowhere. I mean, they die in the first committee mostly.
That's an excellent point. We were talking yesterday, you and I, and you know, you made some comment about you want, you know, when you go into the legislators or anywhere in Florida, you want Florida examples. You don't want necessarily to walk in with anything from other states. You just want to have something local. Is it time, Jan, maybe that we need to do something globally? Or nationally, I shouldn't say globally, because they're not infected with the same disease to the same extent that we are yet?
Sure it is, but you see, this very much depends on the fact we're talking here to Florida legislators.
That's right.
Florida legislators are, don't look too far. They look in their own little district, because they often want to get reelected. And so they want to see examples of what happens to their local constituents. If you can give them an example that their local homeowners association is not doing well, that people are unhappy, and people feel that the local legislator should step in and do something, then this legislator can be persuaded to help you. But if you tell him, you know, there is a flood case in Virginia, he says, oh, that's fine, this is really too bad, but I can assure you he will lose interest listening to you within a minute.
I'm not talking so much about legislation, Jan. I'm talking more about public policy, that homeowners across the country, because I don't live in Florida, but if I were to retire and move down there, or you know, I might make my decision not to move down there based on what's happening. I mean, this should be something that the 50 million homeowners should have a say in what's going on, right?
And it definitely will, and I can assure you if our legislation, which we proposed, the task force bill, will not go anywhere this year in Tallahassee. I think it will go national because we just got together with the big national organization, LALAC, which is the Latino American organization, which is very huge membership-wise, which is very well represented in Washington, and they are planning on putting this on their national agenda, which definitely would help others then to join on the bandwagon and work on it, because you know in Washington you need help. If you as Joe homeowner come running to Washington, they don't even know who you are, and they don't want to know.
Oh, that's true. Well, they'll kick it out. They'll say, hey, this is a state issue. You know, take it up with your state legislators. And frankly, right now it is. And I'm not even talking about laws, Jan. I'm talking basically about letting consumer wants and wishes known.
You know that many of us already talk and work with each other from state to state.
That's right.
There are many email groups, there are many local groups, there are state groups. They're all working together, but since most of the laws which regulate associations are state laws, more or less we Florida people cannot really help people in Oregon.
Yeah, no.
Because their laws are different.
I'm not talking about laws, Jan. I don't want to talk about laws. I'm just talking about public policy. I'm talking about the will of the people. Do you necessarily want to have to get permission to fly a flag? Do you necessarily want to have to pay taxes plus pay an association to provide you with the same services? Do you, as an individual, necessarily want to live in an association? And this is something that it has nothing to do with state, you know, with the states or with the laws. It just has to do with, hey, we as people don't think we want this anymore.
Well, and I think we need to get the choice. Do we want to live in an association or not? And this choice is taken away from us by the big picture, because honestly, try to look here in Florida for any kind of lot or home which is not, or newer home which is not in an association, you are out of luck. I'm telling you that.
Oh, I know. Fairfax County is where I live. It's in excess of 90% of all homes are in an association. And what they're doing is they're going in and tearing out existing non-association developments and replacing them with condos and townhouses. So everything is going to be in an association. You have no option.
Right, and I mean, on one hand, honestly, I'm not so far yet that I want them all abolished. You know that some of our friends already are at the point where they say this is all useless. Why trying to change laws? Just the fact should disallow homeowners association altogether because they are unconstitutional. I think there is a reason for them to have them, but the consumer has to be protected and can't be left alone fighting his own very expensive fight. And in order to protect consumers, you have to give consumers as well the possibility of the choice, meaning you can buy here a home within an association if you feel like you want to obey by all the regulations and stuff like that. Or you have here a home outside which is just regulated by normal county regulation, but give the people a choice. And the choice is what we don't have anymore.
Well, the thing is, you say there's no, you know, there's no protections, but the whole concept of a homeowners association is that this is a private contractual relationship. Now, if you come in and change that relationship, you basically are doing away with associations as we know them.
Yeah, but see, that is already the wrong approach, because in many, many cases, there is no contractual relation, because most people are not being told that they move into a homeowners association and what comes along with it. Often they're just told, oh, you know, you have to pay $50 a month, you know, so that we can mow the lawn and take care of the proper common area, and that's it. Many people don't get deed restrictions handed over at the title company and being told, hey, you're from now on, you're a member of a mandatory homeowners association and you have to obey these regulations. I have had cases where people got a bill from an attorney half a year after they moved into their home telling them, you live in a homeowners association, you haven't paid for 6 months your dues, and now you pay the dues plus $800 in attorney fees. These people never knew they were part of an association. So there is no contractual relation, as it's often said by courts and so on. It's not there. People are not being disclosed what they're getting into, and that is one of our biggest issues we have and we try to make to the legislator. Because despite the fact that there is a disclosure law, it is not enforced. You cannot enforce it yourself by going to court, because you are being laughed out of court and say, hey, you signed here. Did you see that? No, I didn't sign there. Oh, but you signed the contract. You should have read that before. You should have informed yourself before. I informed myself with the help of an attorney before I signed my contract. The attorney told me, you're protected by Florida law against fraud. When I was defrauded, I talked to the state attorney and to the general attorney in Tallahassee. They said, oh, yeah, you're protected, but sorry, we don't have a budget to prosecute these violators. Sorry, you're on your own. So what does it help me?
Well, it doesn't. And, you know, the contract comes from the fact, and they don't even have to give you anything, Jan, okay? The way I understand it, the mere fact that these governing documents are recorded in the land records gives you what's known as constructive notice, and it is your responsibility to go and check them out.
Yeah, but you know as well.
I know. Listen, I've had this argument, and I know exactly, but I'm telling you that this is the way the legal system seems to be set up. It's, you know, they're available. You have a duty to yourself to check things out. I didn't know that.
No, and I tell you one thing. I was given my deed restrictions before purchasing my home. I gave it to an attorney, a specialist real estate attorney,
mm-hmm.
and he read through all of it, and he told me, yes, this is very good. This is the normal form. Everything is fine. They can't do anything to you. You're protected, and Florida law will protect you.
Uh-huh.
You know, over 5 years of fighting our developer in court, all I got was a good laugh out of it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You know, you can't fight the deep pockets. They're taking you everywhere into 500 depositions, useless depositions. Then the judge will order another mediation, which costs you a few thousand dollars, where the developer already knows he's not budging one inch. His attorneys will talk with you for 8 hours, so your bill will go sky high, and then they hope that you run out of money and forget about
yeah.
it. That's just it.
Yeah, it's not
justice which is being talked about.
Oh no, it's not. It's economic warfare, and they've got all the big guns on their side, and you're kind of left there like David and Goliath, you know?
When you buy a house for $200,000, you don't have another $100,000 in pocket change to fight for your rights in court.
That's not even going to come close to covering the costs, Jan. You know that.
$100,000
doesn't go far in trying to protect your rights.
It may help you find a settlement in between, which doesn't help you, but at minimum stops the bleeding.
I don't know. Somehow it just doesn't seem like a very pleasant alternative here. But
it is not. And you know, You may have heard that our governor commissioned a commission here in Florida, the Destination Florida Commission. They felt in their final report that Florida needs more and more retirees to move to get the economy going again, because Florida has lost the number one spot in the nation. Now, we are trying to tell the governor and all our legislators that it's not quantity, it's quality. And people know in the meanwhile and realize that we have here what is called fraud-friendly Florida, and they are not protected. That keeps people from moving here. So big advertising and spending lots of money will do no good in the end if people know that there is a problem. And computers nowadays do such a great job in letting people from far away know what is happening. You wouldn't believe where we get emails from, all over the nation. And they're inquiring, what's happening? We intended to retire to Florida, so what is going on there? We read the web pages. Oops, no, I guess we'd rather stay here in New Jersey.
So basically you're making a difference.
Yes, but it takes a time and it takes a lot of work.
It does.
And, you know, the problem is only as a coalition you can talk to legislators and let them know they have to change something, because otherwise they rather take the campaign funding from the industry and live happily ever after. But if you can tell them, look, here in my pocket I have the vote. Here is a petition signed by more than 3,000 people who want this. I tell you, they think twice before accepting the developers' campaign funds and the CAI campaign funds. I promise you.
So basically that's what you've done. You've put together a coalition of a number of large organizations, I guess the largest being LULAC, the Latin, what is it? Latin Union United?
That is the League of United Latin American Citizens.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. And you also have a number of other smaller Florida-based organizations.
Yes, and we have three, they're unincorporated condo organizations, which number more than 1,000 members. So all together, you're adding up. And word gets around. And for example, I gave three interviews by telephone to big newspapers here in Florida asking for our opinion about laws and what should be done. So the word slowly but surely gets around, but it takes a lot of work.
It does take a lot of work. And it takes persistence, because we've seen people come and they, you know, then they go. And, you know, you've got to be there. You've got to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And you sort of build credibility and you build a base. And you're doing that, and I commend you for it. One of the things that you've also worked on has been legislation. You wanted to set up some kind of a task force?
Yes, we proposed, with the help of two sponsors, the Mandated Property Reform Task Force Bill, which runs in the moment in Tallahassee as a companion bill in House and Senate. We're working on it, but as you know, opposition is stiff, and our money is being used to fight us, because certain organizations are taking our money, turn it around, and then buy lobbyists to fight the legislation to improve homeowners' rights.
By saying your money, you're talking about your part of your assessments that you pay to your homeowners association.
Yes.
And this is the industry lobby. Now, I downloaded your task, you know, your bill, and I looked at it, and I don't know if I want to even start to get into it now, because I think we're going to be taking a break soon here in a few minutes, and I don't want to interrupt that. But I do want to get into the bill itself, and I want to know a little bit more about what your thinking was. Let's talk a little bit about when you came up with the idea for a bill, how long you've been working on putting this together.
Well, we came up with the idea about 2 years ago. We feel that so far, all legislation which passed in Tallahassee was proposed, filed, and in the end passed by industry people. As you know, they all claim they know what's good for homeowners. Problem is, homeowners are never being asked if they like it or not. The industry comes to the legislature and says, this is what the homeowners want. We are representing the homeowners, by the way, which is not true, but they say it anyway. And legislators are only too happy to believe it because it comes with good campaign donations. So we said, hey, this has to stop. We consumers should have a right to have our say as well. And the best way to have a say is by having a task force which will work all over the state, which will have input from homeowners from all over the place. You know, Tallahassee is far off for most Floridians, and it's hard to get there. So the task force will have meetings in other cities in this state so normal homeowners can participate and can give their input, and that is what we want.
And, you know, like I said, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it when we come back from break. So you put this, so you managed to pull all this together, and you actually found a whole slew of sponsors. You found people both in the Senate and the House who were willing to sponsor your bill.
And yes, we did. And I tell you, that was not an easy thing to do.
I know.
Because everyone you talked to told you the first thing, do you know that this bill will be very badly opposed by the industry? And we had to say, yes, we do. So then the next question was to the legislator, so who do you want to help? The consumer, your constituents, or the industry? So after long discussions, we finally found two who were willing to go for it. And after finding the sponsors, we got as well quite a lot of legislators who were willing to co-sponsor it. And well, we did mailing campaigns, we did telephone calls, our people did a lot of work and worked on their local legislators. And in some areas it's much easier to convince the legislator because there are big problems. As you know, we collect on our webpage the main articles about problems in associations. And you have looked at our web pages. It's filling up real fast.
It is. Why don't we give your web address so that people can check it out? I did put it in the promo, but...
It is real easy. It's www.ccfj.net.
That's ccfj.net, for those of you who didn't catch it the first time. Please check it out. There's a wealth of information there. I mean, I was absolutely amazed when I went there last night, and I just started really digging into it because I go there periodically, but I really spent a lot of time there yesterday, and I was very, very impressed, and I know how hard it is and how much work it takes. But you keep that up yourself, right, Jan?
Well, we have members all over Florida. So the way it works is we have certain people who check their local newspapers,
mm-hmm.
and if there is an article of interest, they send me the link so I can put it up on the webpage. So that helps me a lot because I don't have to scan every newspaper here in Florida. And these people give me as well other information and get me in touch with other people and reporters and so on. And so altogether, it's a teamwork. It's a team effort, and it works as a team. Because otherwise, just two or three people would be unable to do what we are trying to do.
Well, but it still takes a lot of time. I mean, I know I don't update my website every day, but you know, every time I go to yours, you've got something new on there, and it must still take time to go and check out the links, and it takes a lot of work.
Well, it takes a lot of work, but you know, it helps a lot if you have people who are willing to work with you and help you, because it takes a lot of the actual job away from you, because you finally deal with an end product and just have to put it on the web page. And if you're halfway familiar and you have the templates for the pages going, it doesn't take you too long. It is feasible.
It is feasible.
Even if my wife sometimes beats me up for sitting in front of the computer all day.
Oh, well, you know, don't go away. You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. On the Commons with us today is Jan Bergman from Florida. And we'll be back after this short break.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
In the land of the free, in the home of the brave, an American flag flying proudly for all to see brings tears to the eyes of anyone who fought to defend this great country. Flying the flag is a privilege that every patriotic American holds dear to their heart. It is a tribute to those who died believing freedom was more valuable than life. H.H. Hunt, the developer of the Wyndham community of Richmond, Virginia, doesn't believe the residents of Wyndham have the right to fly their flag without his approval. H.H. Hunt took Richard Olden, a decorated combat veteran, to court for flying the American flag in a manner that Hunt considered a visual nuisance. This is a sad event in our history. We urge you to contact your elected officials. Call the governor, lieutenant governor, the speaker of the Virginia House, your state senator, and your state delegate. Tell them that you will not allow H.H. Hunt or anyone else to take the right to fly our flag in a respectful manner away from us. Do it today.
Visit us at AmericanFlagTrial.com.
On the Commons, and coming to you from WEBR, Fairfax Radio, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and on the Commons with me is Jan Bergman, from President of Cyber Citizens for Justice from Florida. Before we get back to Jan, let me please remind you that the Olton's court date is this coming Friday, the 28th. If you live anywhere within driving distance of Richmond, I would urge you to please show up. If you have friends in the vicinity, just call them. Ask them to please show up in court and let us let the judge know that we do not approve of what he's doing. This is, let's show that we care. Our folks are out there, you know, fighting for us, and those who've been there before are now fighting to stay out of jail simply because they want to fly a flag. That's wrong. Plain wrong, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope to see you all in court next Friday, 10 a.m. Go get the information from my website in Rico County. Back to Jan Bergman. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I've been wanting to have you back for a long time. And I'm really impressed with everything you're doing. To recap for those who have missed the first bit, what Jan's done is he's managed to put together an enormous coalition of consumer groups down in Florida, and they're all working together, and what they do is they represent an enormous voting block, and that is sort of adding a little balance to the tons of money that the other side keeps throwing in for campaign contributions and buying all of these laws that have been taking away your rights. And in addition to that, Jan and his team have put together an incredible bill, and they've got a very impressive list of sponsors in both the House and the Senate. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your bill, Jan?
Well, the bill is supposed to create a task force because we feel it is absolutely important that everybody is sitting together at a table and talk about the problems and find reasonable ways to solve the problems. This is number one, but so far the industry is unwilling to sit down with the consumer because we are not being taken serious, which partially has to do with the small numbers of people complaining and the people talking, but they more and more realize there's more to it, and in the end, a bad reputation doesn't help them to sell their houses and doesn't help them to get more people moving into their associations. And the task force bill should help because more or less it will be a government-supervised roundtable discussion. And that is what we need because the time where they are telling us what's good for us is definitely over. They didn't succeed. They made a mess out of it. And the problems can be seen daily in Florida courts. So things need to change. If one way doesn't work, you have to find another one.
Now, in the task force, you said that, I guess in some email you sent, that some senator or some legislator that you called on showed you a stack of business cards from people who opposed this bill. And I don't understand why they would oppose the bill, because you've gone out of your way in this bill to make sure that everybody is represented, including the industry.
Yes, but see, they are not interested in talking. They don't want to talk. See, and if you hear these lobbyists, which are sent there by developers, by the CAI, by all the industry which is involved in housing and association housing, they will all tell the legislators, hey, we don't care whatever bill you're passing. Don't worry. You can pass any way, any bill you want, as long as it's unenforceable. Meaning, with other words, they know that most of the laws which are governing associations are useless because they're unenforceable, people don't have the money to enforce them in the court of law, and as long as they are not enforceable or not being enforced by the government, they can do whatever they want. They just can ignore them. It would be the same as if you would take a jail sentence away from the law against robbing banks. If you take a jail sentence away and say, hey, you can't do this, but we will not punish you if you do it anyway, you know how many bank robberies you would have tomorrow morning?
Well, you're saying that the industry opposes this task force, even though you have made sure that they are also sitting at the table with you. They oppose it because they don't want to talk. They don't care what kind of laws are passed as long as they're non-enforceable?
That is exactly, I have been in Tallahassee, and I talked with different legislators, I talked with their legislative aides, and I heard what the lobbyists told them in regards to opposing this bill. See, we thought it would be a good idea to put everybody on at a table, talk it over and find solutions, because especially developers should be happy if the reputation of the Florida home builders is getting better. In the moment, there was a court case just where a developer was sent to jail, and some people who were defrauded who wanted to retire here in Florida, but which came, one couple was from Michigan, and the husband said, hey, this is fraud-friendly Florida. We just realized it in time, so we're not coming down here. The judge promised us our money back, and thank you very much. That was it for our experience here in Florida. And that kind of reputation doesn't help developers to sell their product. So we have a hard time to understand with common sense why these developers oppose this kind of bill. But there is no explanation, and I can tell you that some legislators told me they don't know neither.
Wow.
What do you want to do? They oppose anything which forces them to talk to consumers. That's the impression I get.
So basically the consumers, you're there, you do what we want you to do, and we don't want to hear from you.
Correct. You pay,
just give
and
us,
shut up.
Just pay, and if you get out of hand, we'll just throw you out.
Right, and then you're being told you're disgruntled, and if you don't like it, move out. What? Many retirees don't have that possibility because their money went into the home they're living. That's the home they wanted finally to die in, and that's it. They can't just say, okay, no, I don't like it. I move into the next place. Maybe it's better. That's not a solution for them. We have here in our community some older people. They wouldn't even be able to move anymore because they're frail. They moved here with the help of their children, which mostly live up north, and hope to live here happily ever after. Now sometimes you get, oh, you know, I wish I wouldn't have come here. And I just lost a nice couple of neighbors across the street from me. Their son picked them up. He moved them back to New Jersey. He told me, I don't have the time to come down here to Florida every time to bail you out with your homeowners association.
So basically it's the homeowners association that got them to move out, huh?
Yes. He said, I'm sick and tired of working on these letters I get from your homeowners association board. I have better things to do, and sorry, you know, I can't babysit your association all day long.
And
he moved them.
He moved them, huh?
They were a real nice elderly couple. We were very happy to have them here.
Yeah.
That's how you can lose neighbors as well.
That's right. Well, you get a lot of calls and emails. I know you do, and as do I, from people. And invariably it starts off with, I will never live in another homeowners association again as long as I live. And that's free, and I start laughing, and I go, well, you better start doing something about it, because pretty soon you're not going to have a choice at all. Right now your choices are very slim, next to none, but soon even those are going to disappear, so you better get involved.
Now, I can give you a good example for that. Another couple lived here around the block from me. They said, we've had it. We move out, and that's it. Okay, so decision was made. Everything sounded good. They started looking. And they showed me the list of properties here in St. Augustine, which was feasible for them to buy, and which was not within the boundaries of an association. And guess what?
None.
There were six possibilities, and not one of them had anywhere could get you to move there, you know, not in good interest, because they were just, either they were half underwater, or there were other big problems. That's why they wanted to sell them. But there was not one good lot or home available which was not within an association which would have tempted them to buy. They moved to Daytona, outside Daytona finally. Was the next place to move, where they could find a reasonable home outside of an association.
Unfortunately, that seems to be happening all over the country, not just where you are. But, quite apart from all of the everyday type of nitpicky, petty irritant that people who live in an association have to deal with. Some of them have some real serious problems, don't they, Jan?
Oh, yes. There are some, they really have serious problems. And I can give you an example. There is an association called Eagles Reserve Homeowners Association. It's in Pinellas County in Florida. These people, they paid their dues. They did everything according to deed restrictions. They mowed their lawn in time. They kept their bushes trimmed, so nothing to complain. Their only problem, lived in an association where the developer didn't build the homes right. Now they're supposed to pay for 18 homes, and each one of them will be assessed, up to estimates so far, with $80,000. Not possible for many. Some people left already their houses and went and said, hey, you can have my home, I'm out of here. And some others say, well, we don't know where to go if we don't have a home anymore. And liens and foreclosures are on the daily agenda there.
The story, and you've got pictures, can be seen on your webpage. And there's also right here, and it's what? A real horror story, HOA horror story. There's a schedule of special assessments that they've got. March 1, 2002, they owe an additional $3,333.33. April 1, the same amount. It goes down to May 1, and then September 25th, it's $4,000. November 1st, it's $3,333.33. December 1, January 1, and they were talking about several. I mean, in some place in here, I think it said that they thought it could be up to $80,000 per home.
Yes, I just talked yesterday with one of the homeowners there, and he more or less told me, he said, I don't know where to get the money anymore. And, you know, he said, I don't know what they want us to do. They want to buy our house for $5,000 and live happily ever after. Is that the reason? Because, see, these people, these are townhouses partially in this association. And they are supposed to pay for the total renovation of these townhouses.
And these townhouses, from what I understand, are single, fee simple ownership. The owners themselves have insurance, and in some cases the owners themselves have collected from their insurance companies, yet it's the association and all the other homeowners who are being foreclosed on to collect the money to repair these houses, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, according to the information and according to the court documents I have here in my office. That is the way it works. And the owners of these townhouses, which are affected, some of them got big amounts. We're not talking here $10,000 or $20,000. According to what I heard, some got $200,000 from their insurance, which they have in their accounts, but the other homeowners and neighbors now pay for the repair of their houses.
And the reason that's happening is?
Because there was a smart attorney who was able to convince the judge that the association is responsible for everything but the inside paint of each house.
Jan, you've got these houses. I don't know what, you know, how upscale or downscale they are. I guess from what I saw, they run about
Between $125,000 and $300,000.
$300,000. All right. Well, that's a fairly nice house in most places. How did they get so badly built? I mean, what happened to the county or city or town inspectors who get paid by taxpayer money to make sure that the construction is done properly.
Well, it is very obvious that it was not properly constructed. Even if the developer claims it was all done fine, you know, he claimed wrong maintenance is the problem. But let's face it, these houses are not very old, and they're leaking. I mean, they had water damages inside the houses you wouldn't believe. I've seen pictures. It's amazing. So there is something wrong with the houses. But please, for that you have, as a homeowner, a homeowner's insurance, and your homeowner's insurance will take care or should take care of the problem. But here in this case, these homeowners got paid by their insurance, but now expect the other homeowners to pay for the repair again.
You said these
and
were...
And don't forget, what we're talking about is not common property. It is private property of these single homeowners.
You said these were new homes. What happened to the developer?
The developer is not there anymore. The claim is, and they are just in the process of filing a lawsuit, and the DBPR in Tallahassee is investigating. The claim is that the developer built without a proper contracting license. But that is, according to government sources, pretty common in Florida. They just buy one guy who has a license, put his name up on the permit, and that's it. That person will never see the house or what it's built, or when it's built. They just put the name on there, and the developer claims it was his contractor who signed on the permit, but the contractor on the other side claimed he got for each permit he signed $125. So something is wrong here.
Well, in this article, it also says the developer used substandard construction techniques and materials.
Yes.
And so basically, it's a mess. It looks like the developer defrauded the consumers. It looks like, by the sounds of things, the local municipality didn't do what it was supposed to be doing. And the courts are screwing up, and the homeowners are losing their homes because of it.
Yes, and the ones who are living in Seventh Heaven are the attorneys.
Isn't that the way it always happens?
You know, one of the attorneys was initially fired by the members of the Homeowners Association because they felt he was not working in their interest. Now he turned up as the attorney for the receiver appointed by the court, filing against the same homeowners who fired him a few years back, liens and foreclosures. So, hey, he definitely has his money saved in his account.
Unbelievable. But that's not the only big problem, is it, in Florida?
No, it's not. There are many problems. And it just shows that homeowners are absolutely unprotected. I mean, there are already millions paid in legal fees from money which is not there, and people are losing their homes. Without their fault, without them doing anything wrong, obeying by any rule, regulation, and whatsoever. And nothing is being done.
There's, and from your webpage, and we're running out of time here, I want to get to this. On your webpage, there's a story about Miramar Gardens Townhouse Homeowners Association. And there's a picture of a guy holding a sign. I guess 150 people went down to Miami to protest the association. And they said, this sign says he's tired of seeing his mother crying, suffering, and desperate because of what Timberlake is doing to me and my family. And people are miserable, aren't they?
Well, this is a low-income family development.
No, we don't call it low-income.
Low-income housing.
Affordable housing.
Oh, yes. But it's not affordable anymore since the Homeowners Association, with the help of a management company and some other people interested in money, and according to the homeowners there, a local church which tries to get their lots, living for these people is made nearly impossible. They can't pay the dues they're supposed to pay. They don't know why they should pay them. Please don't forget that minimum half of them have problems with the English language. That is a very Spanish-speaking community down there. These people don't know where to turn to.
And they've basically been abandoned. I went on, and before coming in, I didn't have a chance to send it to you, but I found an article, and I'm sure you know about this, about Oldsmar. Again, in North Pinellas County,
yes.
I think. And this is a condo. And again, it's affordable housing. And again, you have people losing their homes because of additional problems. And I'll make sure I send this to you. But again, you have water intrusion. You have people who just scraped together enough to buy a condominium for $43,000. And they're now being charged tons of money because the whole place is falling apart.
Well, but that, you know, that is not a single case.
No, it's not.
I have one case. A lady complained to me because she said, I have to leave here. I can't afford it. The board decided that everybody has to buy hurricane shutters. Cost for each condo between $10,000 and $12,000.
Whoa.
That lady said, hey, you know, I just scraped my money together to own a condo, and I'm here. I don't have the money, and no bank will loan me an additional $12,000 for hurricane shutters. But the board decided it without asking the unit owners, without asking anybody. And funny enough, it turned out later on that the guy who owned the business putting in these hurricane shutters was the brother-in-law of the board president.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
You know, but the thing is, we talked to three different attorneys who help people in need here in Florida, and they all said, there's nothing you can do. The law is that the board can make these decisions, and they don't have to ask. And if you don't like it, you're out of luck. Your money is gone, and that's it, and you're losing your home.
That is unbelievable. Jan, would you believe we're out of time? I really want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, and it was nice being there, and an hour is gone in no time.
It does fly by, doesn't it?
Yes, and there's so much to talk about, and it is important that people know what they're getting into.
I agree with you. But during the first hour, by the way, folks, stay on the phone. Stay on the line, Jan. Please join us next Saturday at 1 o'clock for It's Your Turn. That's when you get to call in, because finally it's your turn right here at WEBR Fairfax Radio. And then at 2, we'll be back with On the Commons. We'll have an update on the Altons and what happened, because I intend to be in court on Friday. I hope to be in court. But stay tuned, because coming up at 4, it's Squire with Night Train. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks for joining us, and see you all next week.
Jeep, it's great to be back home.